okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, we're based Action Jacks. After tomorrow, he's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures down 59. That's 2.5%. They were locked down limit last night. Although, the headline says, briefly hit limit down. Does everybody have to tell everybody? Can we put a piece of truth anywhere? They were limit down most of the night. They came off limit, but they're better off limit, obviously. As their futures only down 2%, 137, they were down to 5 last night as well. Dow futures down 428. Frank, how are you?
Good. Trying not to be cranky.
Yeah,
unlike many people, I am not bored.
Well, you know, you got. Well, what are you doing at home?
I've been going birding fairly often.
Oh, is that
legal? Part of my social distancing.
What if the bird?
There's a million books out there. You can, you know, libraries may be closed, but e-books are available on the library. And if you can't get e-books, it's your own fault. Unless you don't have an e-book reader or a PC.
The governor of California.
It's your own fault for not having a library card.
The governor of California is all pissed off at, like, the young people that are out there surfing, like, by themselves. Don't they listen to him? How in God's name is a guy surfing by himself? Or they shut down all the golf courses. How do two people, especially if I played with a guy like Matt Weber who was in the woods the whole time, how would we ever be within 6 feet of each other?
Good point.
Meanwhile, the president stands in a room every day for an hour and a half.
So one of you's going to walk, and you're going to take the cart, Tom?
Well, I would be the one who would take the cart, yes.
Right. So would I.
Now, there was a time when we would go play 36 carrying our own bags. I'm going to say that ship has sailed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even sure a pull cart's in the... Probably could do a pull cart for a little while. But we're not
I don't think you're doing a pull cart for 18.
No, I'd have to start with less than that.
I'm not going to play 18 no matter what. My attention span's never been long enough. I've broken 100 once, and I've broken 45 on the first nine probably 20 times. So that shows my attention span.
Well, in the old days, you used to be able to spin around in 3 hours, 3.5 hours. You could keep your attention. When we're in 6 hours, you do tend to wander a tad. Mentally.
I used to read the New York Times while playing golf on Sunday, which upset people.
Yes, it would. It would be better than having the phone ringing, I guess. Just saying.
But it's not like I'm ruffling the pages. It's not like my noise made any difference to anybody's game.
Then you could always go with Shanny and be in the cart with him, and that was always a former guest on the show. That was always good for your stress level on a Sunday morning. If he hits a good shot, he's giving you lessons. If he hits a bad shot, he's quitting after the hole.
I love playing with guys like that.
Yeah, it's just special.
You know what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
After they hit one good shot.
And then they hit one bad shot and they're quitting. Why are they ever playing this game?
What a waste of time.
Yeah, what a waste. And so, Frank, at the risk of digging in, I've been spending most of the weekend reading about the disease and various and sundry approaches to it. And I think we finally have some people that are making some progress. Our preparation, I think, when this is all over, I don't know how you go through the bureaucracy, but I'll tell you what, I don't understand after 9/11 how we were this unprepared. We don't know where our supply chain is. There's got to be, no matter what it is. I mean, and I spent the weekend with two Trumpster ladies close to me. And it's like
hopefully
it's,
6 feet away.
Oh God, one more net. if it's like Trump's like their kid, for God's sake. Oh no, he didn't commit four murders. Those four people really deserve to die. Okay, I mean there's no rational thought on anything on any of this stuff. I mean regarding
including him.
And
the one thing I'm set off right now is, hey, the governors can get their own stuff. So we have 50 states competing again for scarce resources, right, rather than the government taking care of it and apportioning it in a fair and equal manner. I mean, what's with that?
I don't understand the leadership, and I'm not. One thing I will not do, as you know, I'm one of the guys. Carl put me in this mode, and I've stayed there. This gear. The incompetence has been really building for me for like four or five presidencies. Because Trump didn't create the bureaucratic incompetence. I mean, the Katrina, the fact that we had people where they knew there was a leak, one part in a dike in one spot in New Orleans, not making it up the chain, the president didn't cause that. I mean, there's just incompetence in
the system. He did appoint Brownie.
Okay, but I'm saying, you appoint somebody, it's like appointing you or me tomorrow, or even Lou, who knows the hell he's doing, to the head of the Veterans Administration, and like a month from now, something blows up and you blame it on Lou. Hell, there's 100,000 employees there. It would take 2-3 years to work your way through this, even know 5% of these people who's competent, who's in, even if you could get rid of them.
That's why you don't fire your pandemic response team.
Okay,
in a bureaucracy, there is institutional memory.
Well, that's true. That was a blaring mistake, okay? But I mean, at some point after 9/11, this is my bitch all the way through, and it does no good to point fingers at this guy, that guy. Oh, I'm going to do that in a minute. I shouldn't do that, but I will. But someplace, somewhere, if you're president, matter of fact, one of the ladies I was talking to, I said, you know, the part of leadership is, and there's very few people that have had this skill. I mean, I don't know that I have it, but I wish I did. But John Kennedy in a room, six people could be talking, and from what I understand, somebody'd say something intelligent, somebody'd say something intelligent, and he'd listen to all these people, and he'd come out and say, based on what you all just said, here's what we should do. And he basically extracted the knowledge of the people around him and came up with a plan. And there are people like that. It was George Marshall. But they're very rare. And the fact that Trump isn't one of those people, in my opinion, doesn't make him a horrible guy, because most people aren't like that. I mean, what I'm saying is, you should be able to, every once in a while.
Oh, no, it's not what makes him a horrible guy. It's his attitude.
Oh, I understand, but...
I mean, there's a difference between not being a leader and throwing gas on the fire.
Did you hear the comment when he heard Mitt Romney has the virus? Like, good or something?
We can't do the tone of voice, but yes, I did.
Yeah, something like that. But what I'm saying is, you should be able to, as a president, say, we're going to talk readiness. We have a meeting Wednesday on readiness in the something-something room. And walk in and have your list of, I need like 5 questions. Does anyone here have a list of, no matter what it is, bio thing, you know, dirty bomb, does anybody have a list of the 100 to 150 most important items we need to be able to hospitalize or take care of 100,000 people, 200,000 people? Somebody's going to say, well, here's a list of 150 things. Okay, does anybody know where they're all sourced? Are they in short supply, big supply? Do we have any of them in reserve? Who's going through all this stuff? Don't tell me all the saline solution is in Puerto Rico when it's hurricane. Don't tell me that these other 5 things are all made in China and not here. And if there's a crisis, we need them. Don't tell me that. That's
why we have the Defense Production Act.
Well, what I'm saying is, it appears that we don't know where any of this stuff is even made. It's not being made here. There's no reserve. You would think that if it's made in China, I'm talking about, this is all preparation. And we listened to Kevin last week, very eloquent talk at, it's like having a teenage kid. What are you going to do the first time the beer breaks out in a party? What do you do the first time the guy drove you there and had 5 beers and gets in the driver's seat? I mean, if you don't prepare in advance, all your stuff is, your decisions are, weird. Now, the lady who lives upstairs today, I was going to the restaurant depot on Saturday. I saw her say, hey, you need to go to the depot? Sure. Well, she's a manufacturing engineer that works in the packaging industry. She's really smart, real nice lady. And, they do all the packaging from like McDonald's and stuff. But, you know, there's huge machines. Every time you change the package, you gotta change it. And, she says these guys are making decisions without any data. They don't have any data. They don't know how many people have the virus. They don't know what age groups. They don't know where they're all at. Because they don't, she goes, when you make decisions without having any data, they're always bad decisions. She says they need to get some data and know what they're dealing with, or else decisions. I mean, everybody, and then they have the nerve, when I say they, the politicos, Republican and Democrat, they have a nerve of accusing other people of being rumor mongers. They're their own rumor mongers. The guy in New York, I got two emails from my buddies from Notre Dame saying, Cuomo's the smartest man in the whole thing. And I said, you know, I don't know about that. Sure enough, the mayor says, I'm going to shut down New York. Cuomo comes out and says, he can't do it without my approval. By the way, I'm not going to approve it. The next day, he approves it. All right. And then they say, don't worry, the stores are going to be open. Don't hoard anything. How long do we think these stores are going to be open? This afternoon? And then he comes out last night and he says, we could be doing this for 12 months. At the rate people are becoming, are already infected. Now, Frank, how is it when you don't have any tests, and then all of a sudden you start testing people? I have a feeling that 500,000 people in this country already have it. 480,000 of which are darn near asymptomatic. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe it's 300, maybe it's 200. But it's a lot. Okay? Now, so you start testing these people. Now, all of a sudden, you're horrified? I don't get it. To me, it's pretty obvious. Or where am I wrong here?
But it's been obvious to you for 2 months, Tom.
Yes.
It was sort of like when people were calling AIDS a gay, you know, disease, and straight people didn't have to worry. And I'm living in the largest gay community in the country, the north side of Chicago, and the largest heterosexual, area. And then I had to assume that it was the largest bisexual area in the country, and there was nothing special about AIDS that precluded straight people from getting it.
No, but it was the old guys thing for a while, the old straight guys thing for a while. It's only going to be those guys, so don't worry about it.
Well, that's what they're thinking now, and whether it be climate change or, you know, the spread of COVID-19, there's enough science denying, and people do not respect the need just to get knowledge for knowledge. So
I don't believe any of these people. It looks to me like a lot of the younger people don't have any, from what everything I've read. Now, all of a sudden, one of the politicians, they send some lady out there, and she says, oh, look at all the young people are getting sick. Now, is that just out there to scare the young people into doing what people tell them to do, or what? So then, I won't mention his name, but our mutual buddy goes down to get his car fixed. I won't name the suburb because everybody knows what the mayor I'm talking about. And he's buddies with the mayor. The mayor says, can you tell me why all these military vehicles are all of a sudden on the trains coming through our town? What is the deal here, Frank? Something is very amiss. And I'm convinced that, you know, I will listen to even though people that I think don't know what they're talking about, because you know what? You don't learn anything from people that think the same way you do. Finally, the fourth or fifth person on the right is telling me all about this thing is not a natural mutation. And all of a sudden now, Frank, I've read enough stuff. I'm not sure they're wrong. They're talking about some...
Oh, no. I agree. I don't disagree. But you need science to figure it out.
Well, the latest is, I don't know if I sent it to you. I think I did. I'm getting so much stuff, I'm losing track of it. Chinese lady stole it and brought it to Canada, and somebody in Canada sold it to the Saudis and then back to China. This particular, whatever this thing is, germ. I don't know if it's a germ or a virus. Or a virus, I guess.
It's a virus.
Coronavirus. Now, is it possible that this thing was manufactured somewhere?
It's possible we manufactured it.
I don't know.
I mean, I have no idea. You know, we have to remember that there is no ethical component to national governance.
Doesn't appear to be, does it? Some people do. Well, why is this guy, Fauci, who I have great respect for, for what he's done his whole life, why is he still only wanting to test people that are symptomatic? the danger is in somebody walking around who doesn't know he has it. Why are we?
Because that may be the best he can hope for in his current environment.
But it's also the old playbook. Find the people that are sick. They're the ones that are contagious. But this particular one, you get less contagious the minute you get sick.
Well, they can't even tell us how long you can remain asymptomatic and infectious.
The German study did. They tested people.
Well, we can't trust the Germans. That's why you have people telling us not to trust it.
Well, I don't know. This whatever I read, it looked like they took it from day one. And they said,
you and I trust the Germans, but I was talking about the other them.
Oh, the other them. Those guys.
Them.
But anecdotally, and this is because maybe I don't have enough people working on the research, although we sort of seem like we have a lot. Every piece of information, every article that seems very well written, it has some scientific study behind it, like we did this for 14 days, 21 days, and we tested people every day, and we tested their mucus. Because the one in Germany, it's not table talk, they tried to grow it in urine, they tried to grow it in stool, couldn't really do it. So it's not passed that way. I guess if somebody's very sick, it could possibly still be alive in the stool, but not in urine. It's basically a mucus, a throat. You flow it out of your nasal passages, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it said in the first 3 or 4 days, you are 1,000 more times contagious than SARS. And the minute you start to get the symptoms, for whatever reason, the emittance drops very dramatically. To where 2 or 3 days into the systems, you're marginally contagious. And then the last 6 days where you're kind of running the thing off, it's still in your system, but evidently you don't get sick with just like one germ. You need a bunch of them because your body will fight off the one or two. And so the contagion curve is almost exactly the opposite of the sickness curve, which is very unusual. It says, but it explains the rapid spread of this thing without a lot of people being sick. And that's exactly what it explains, right? And if that's the case, it's imperative. If 100,000 people want to go live for a week on the beach and they're under 25, let them go. It's a totally different decision tree than a normal disease, in my mind. Not because I'm smarter or anything like that. That's what these studies are telling me. I'm just reading them and saying, "Well, wait a minute."
How do you go live on the beach?
I'm figuratively.
So, what are you talking about?
I'm saying if we have a lot of 20-year-old people in university, it's probably not wise to send them home. It's probably not wise to send school kids home to their grandparents.
So, where are they going to live?
Well, everybody's got to be someplace, right?
Exactly.
But I'm saying if you have an outbreak in Auburn University, keep it at Auburn University. If all 40,000
kids... But all the staff is not going to stay there with the outbreak.
Eddie, I'm just saying. I'm telling you what to
say. So where do you send them?
I'm not enjoying anything I'm saying here.
Well, I'm asking you to actually say what you're trying to say.
What I'm trying to say is if 40,000 kids at Auburn University all get it, we're probably better off.
To what?
We need to get, according to Carl, we need to get half the people in the country, barring a vaccine or barring a cure, which I don't see happening right now. We need, when half the people in the country get it and recover, then the disease starts to die off.
Okay.
At its own rate.
Okay.
So we're resisting that.
So we need 165 million people to get it.
I didn't say it was a good idea.
We have 72,000 ventilators.
I didn't.
So how many people would die?
What I'm saying is the people who don't appear to have a problem with it.
What people are those?
Anybody under 30.
So who takes care of them and where do they go?
I'm saying if they're at a university and half of them have it, don't send them
home. But there will be no staff at the university.
Manny, there's no...
The staff is in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
70s.
There will be no lunch. There'll be no lunch workers. There'll be no faculty. There'll be no maintenance people.
I didn't say there was any easy decision.
We wouldn't have had maids if they had done this at Notre Dame.
The easy decision is to send everyone home and stay home. That's the easy decision.
Okay.
There's no perfect decision is what you meant to say.
You're right. The easy decision to who?
To everyone.
Okay. If I'm Bill Ackman, okay, and I've got my 5,000 square foot apartment in New York, it's very easy to send you home to grandma, and I don't give a rat's behind if your grandma croaks. They don't care about these other people.
I don't disagree with you on that, but the point is that you affect the least amount of people when you stay home.
If I stay at home, yeah, I'm the only person there.
If everyone stays at home, there's no perfect home.
Or there's
and there's going to be families that get it. There's no doubt about it. But you'd rather
what
have
I'm saying is
hundreds of thousands of people avoid it and five people get it. That's what that's
whole
the decision
point,
you have to make.
My point here is not that I should be put in the spot of czar of this thing. I don't want that job. What I'm saying is everything I've read about this particular disease and what the nuances of it leads me to believe that people who are making decisions are not reading the stuff I'm reading. I don't know what the solution is. It's just different.
We're all reading the same stuff. What would you do differently?
I would test people.
We don't have tests.
What do you mean?
We have 330 million people. You can't test people that don't have symptoms when you don't have 330 million tests.
What I'm saying, Matty, if
we don't even have a million tests.
Exactly.
But the part you're missing is Fauci says that any test given to somebody who's not symptomatic is a wasted test. No, it's not.
No, it's not. I agree with you on that. Harvey Weinstein got tested yesterday. I mean, I read the headline. Harvey Weinstein tests positive for COVID. I'm thinking, why the hell did he get tested?
Well, I don't want that job. What I'm saying is it appears to me...
Rich man's privilege.
Yeah, what appears to me is that
rich people, such as senators, such as athletes,
yep,
such as actors and actresses, they're getting tested. Weird. The rich people are getting tested first.
Where do they even go and get it? I mean, where does that test come from and nobody else can get?
Tom Hanks' publicist calls whoever and says...
He was
hey,
in Australia and they're using the German test. So yeah. I mean, there's ways around this.
Well,
he's probably a poor example.
What I don't need, and this is my one shot at the president here, I promised only to one, I will. I don't need to listen to this guy for an hour on Friday telling me how he's shutting the border to Mexico, which appears to be his own game plan. I mean, if Matty Weber comes out of the can with cramps, he's gonna shut the border to Mexico. It's his one playbook. And he's talking about all these people that are coming across the border with germs, they're gonna infect more people. And of course everybody's listening to him because everybody's afraid now. The next day, I pull up the internet and I'm saying Saturday morning, what happened overnight bad that I missed while I was sleeping. This is like 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going through all this stuff. First thing I come across is all the Mexican people that went skiing in the U.S. And evidently, the ski resorts here became a petri dish for this thing. And there are all the people from Mexico now that came here skiing and now are testing positive in Mexico. And now they're pissed off at us. So I'm not sure that we're not giving it to them versus Trump's thinking they're giving it to us. I'm sitting there going, why did I listen to this guy for an hour about how they're going to come across? And then the guy says 95% of our vegetables are planted and picked by Mexicans. And if we don't let them in here, we're not going to eat, basically. And how a guy out in the middle of the field, either planting or picking, how he's not within 6 feet of each other. The whole thing looks like it's bizarre world to me, like it's some kind of a dream I'm going to wake up from.
I mean, how much milk in these huge dairy farms are milked by Mexicans, or illegal, what
I thought they
were
pretty much automatic Mexicans. I don't know. Man, what did these people do to Trump? Did somebody try and unionize at Mar-a-Lago or what? I wonder what is the no matter what it is why he comes back to the same spot.
Well, I'm fine with shutting the borders because every country's shutting the borders and no one's going anywhere anyway. So it's just something that riles his base up that he gets excited about that and that's why he makes a big thing of it. But I haven't seen any sort of real solutions from him. I haven't heard anything on the show so far that I consider to be a real solution either. I think all we can do is what we're doing.
Okay, well, why?
Because the facts are the facts. We have 330 million people. Everyone believes between 50 and 80% of us are going to get it. Do the simple math. That's 250 million people. We have 72,000 ventilators. We have to slow it down so that we can get more tests, more ventilators, and we can save as many people as we can. I think millions of people are going
to
die from this.
You need to slow it down, according to the math I'm reading, to where each individual...
That's just common sense math.
Okay, you need to slow it down for real math. I mean, there is some of that many. I mean, there is some around. You need to get, you slow it down to where less than, you know, a person only gives it to 1.2 other people. If every person gives it to two other people, you're just delaying it.
Well, we're just delaying it no matter what.
Well, if you're delaying
it. But the point is we have to, because we have between 72,000 and 120,000 ventilators from everything
okay.
I'm reading.
All right, what,
that's not going to save what? That's not going to save our neighborhood.
All right. Look at the outcomes here.
Let alone 330 million people.
All right. Look at the outcomes here. We got everybody locked up. Okay. And we're going to have to look and see if that, I'm with you that will slow things for a while.
And by the way, no one's locked up.
Pretty much. Most people think they are.
No, people can do whatever they want. We're doing the show right now.
Most people, by
it's
the way.
Just you can't go into bars and restaurants.
The only reason why we can do what we're doing is because we are with RBC. And we're a bank. Legally.
Businesses are not closed.
There is a list of businesses that are considered to be key businesses, and they can stay open.
Every business can stay open.
No.
You cannot have customers
come into a shop.
No.
My friend, you need to...
Everybody I know that has a job is working, so you're telling me every business is a key business?
There is a list of about 20 of them. Food stores, pharmacies, hardware stores of all things, marijuana stores, miraculously, lawyers, banks, real estate people, because Audrey's okay to go out, because nobody wants to see a house, but... there's a list of probably 10 businesses.
All the pet food stores are open.
But
Pet Supplies Plus.
I
was out yesterday. There's a lot of people.
I didn't hear you say.
I didn't go there.
Tech companies, software companies.
I'm saying they're in it.
We're all open.
Pick up the list. There's a list there.
It's a list of doors opening to people to walk in. That's the list.
Well, no. Manny, why are you arguing with me? If you got a furniture store, you're closed.
You're not closed.
You have a computer store. You're open, though.
I'm saying there is a list of stores in the...
There is, but the furniture store is still open.
No, it's not.
But it has to deliver.
No.
Yes. You can still order furniture online.
Okay, but you
just can't walk into the store.
You can't. The showroom is not open. That's
my point. The showrooms are closed. The businesses are still open. The restaurants, you can still get carry out. The coffee places, you can still get to-go orders. The furniture stores, you can still get furniture.
How much you want to bet right now, how much you want to bet that there is a specific list of stores that can be open?
I know that there's a list, and that's open to people to walk into the shop.
No.
It's not open as in you're open or you're not open.
No.
It's not you can't do business. It's that people can't walk into your shop. That's the list.
I got bird food yesterday. I called up, ordered it, and they carried it out to my car.
Do you want me to prove it to you and order a couch to your house?
I'm sure you can order a couch at Amazon.
I know I can. You can order it from a furniture store. You just can't go into the furniture store. The doors are locked.
Okay.
You can't browse is the term they use.
You can't browse. It's not perfect, and I know there's a list, but it's a list of the showrooms are closed.
Well, all right. So what does that mean?
It means that it sucks. You mean you have to do deliveries and carryouts. You can't go into the place.
All right, so we're gonna hire, is the same time we're telling people to stay at home, we're out to hire 100,000 delivery people.
Right, people still have to live.
This is insanity.
I haven't heard you offer a better solution. It is insanity. No one's ever experienced anything like this.
If you let me get to it, what I'm going to say, what you're doing now, okay, you're doing what you're doing now for two reasons. And both of them make some sense. I'm not saying it's ignorant. You're trying to prepare the hospitals so when you can have more people,
okay? Right?
Or you think you got some sort of a vaccine coming or a cure coming,
right?
Okay. So now you're telling people 2-3 weeks. All right. Now, what has to happen for Jay Pritzker?
I haven't heard anyone say 2 or 3 weeks.
Well,
by the way,
it's till April 7th.
That's the first date. It's until further notice.
It's till April 7th, right now.
Correct.
Okay, so what is gonna happen to Jay Pritzker to say we don't need to do this anymore? Or what if the amount of people in society that have it once you get enough tests is just so overwhelming that now we've got 400,000 people that have survived it. Now what, we're gonna make them stay home too?
I think those are good questions, but I think you started to answer it yourself. If we have enough tests, that would be an indicator where we can turn the corner.
Well,
and then the second one would be, do we have a vaccine?
We have people on Face the Nation yesterday saying, people are going to put up with this for a month. If it doesn't look like it's working, and it's the same as if it wasn't happening, you're not going to get people to stay home forever. mean, people are going to say, this isn't working. You idiots don't know what you're doing. I'm not staying home. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. Manny, I would love to see 2 weeks from now, somebody pops out with a test, somebody else pops out with a vaccine, somebody else pops out with a cure. In 4 weeks from now, we're all doing whatever we want to do. I would love to do that. But we have stories before that Carl's been sending us, other people saying, if you just delay it and you'll let everybody out in May and they get it anyway, what have you done?
Well, if you delayed it and waited till May, you would hope that you have millions
of
tests.
You've learned that it didn't work.
Yeah.
And or you've learned that it didn't work.
Okay. But in the meantime, you're but what I'm trying to...
I haven't heard you say a logical thing yet.
Okay, well that's because you have your own point of view.
No, I'm saying what should we do if this is not it?
I'm thinking right now every decision has been made blind.
I think that they know more than they're telling us, and that's why they're taking this so seriously. Because
I don't think so.
Because we went from doing nothing and not caring at all.
They have no data.
What do you mean they have no data?
No data. They don't know how many people in this country have the damn disease.
Well, because we don't have tests.
Okay.
They have a pretty good idea based on other countries.
All right, so what are we going to do? We're going to put people, we're going to house them at home, okay, until we get these tests in supposedly a week or two. Now, why don't we have any tests?
That's a good question.
And I'm saying, if they're wrong on the numbers, what they're doing could be useless, and they don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think...
But is not having the numbers reason to not do anything, then? Is that what...
I think what they're doing right now probably makes some sense in the short run. But once you start getting some numbers, you need to reload. And I think you got to start giving tests to people that are asymptomatic, because that's where the danger is.
We, all three of us, agree on that.
Many didn't agree with anything I said.
No, I that's common sense, but we don't have tests, so it doesn't matter.
We have tests.
No, we don't.
Okay, I'm saying
that. We don't have 330 million tests.
There. They told us 3 weeks ago there would be 1.4 million at the end of the week. Fauci told us that.
What did I say last week? I said, you can do an amazing amount of things with random sampling. You've got people at home, okay? The next 50 tests, instead of giving them to the bulls, get a number of 50 people in society, go to the house and test that person. Get some kind
we
of
agree.
An idea. Okay, that get some kind of an idea of what you're dealing with.
We do not, they, that imperial they, the deep state they, and there's multiple deep states, do not want us to know what the numbers are.
Well, that scares me.
Well, that's what's going on.
And I agree.
Why would everybody be fighting against finding out what the numbers are?
All right, well...
We agree on that.
So 2 weeks from now, we should take Cruz and we should take... who's the other guy? The Mormon dude. We should make sure they still stay home, Eddie, if they already had it?
Make sure they stay home after they've already had
yeah.
it. Assuming that you can't get it again, which we don't know, then I would say they can do whatever they want once you've already
had
it. We don't know if that's true.
What
or
if
not.
We have 20,000 people like that right now?
If we have 20,000 people that have already had it,
yeah.
Do we know that you can't get it again?
They can work for Grubhub.
Yeah, they work for Grubhub.
Yeah. They should be in the care centers and helping other people if they can't get it
they
again.
They should be doing this show instead of us. That's my Futures on 77. There's that Futures on 177. Thanks, Frank. Talk to you. I have a feeling we'll be talking to you later during the week. Come back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Matt, argumentative Mr. Matt Weber on the board. The SP futures, these are now the June futures, okay? The Marches are off the board. So these are the SPMs, the sperms, as we used to call them in the bit, because M would be the June month. They're up down 78 now. They're only they're down 3.4%. We were down lock limit 5 most of the night, despite the headlines you see that we were briefly down limit. NASDAQ futures down 189 at 2.7%. Dow down 578, 3%. Individual stocks, Apple down $6. We've got Home Depot down. Home Depot is taking a absolute trashing on this thing. Travelers down 366. United Healthcare down 609. You would think that the healthcare professionals would be doing better, but they're not. Walmart down 3. That's been a stalwart all across. Visa, which I guess, boy, Manny, is up your alley. They're down 483. Let me see what these guys topped out at. But, I mean, these credit cards.
How are they down? People are worried they're going to waive their interest or something?
Oh, Visa doesn't get the interest. Banks get the interest.
That's true.
It was 210. And where were we? We were 210 and 18th of February. That's unbelievable. The less transactions, they get all their fees are transactional, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they get a percentage of something. I don't know.
I don't think they have a percentage. I don't know. You know better than me. It's your game. I thought the interest was all the banks, but that's just me. DAX down 249, 2.8%. They were down more last night. They're actually doing better, believe it or not. So we should feel happy about this. FTSE down 198, that's 3.8%. Kick around down 129, 3.2. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei actually was up 334, 2%. I think they were up because they thought the Senate was going to come up with some kind of a bill, and then they didn't. Shanghai down 85, that's 3.1%. Hang Seng down 1108, that's almost 5%. Bonds back down 0.8. They were over 1 on Friday. The Bund minus 0.35, they got back to being minus 0.2 something. Japan, which was above the zero line, 0.03, is now negative 0.07. So they're going the down way. Oil down 52 cents, back to $22 a barrel. Ouch. I got gas 210, Matty, 210, which I think I could have done a little better if I don't hustle around, but 210 isn't bad. Natural gas, 155. RBOB gas, 53 cents. That is, they're giving it away, for God's sake. Gold up $11, $14.95. Silver up 16 cents, $12.54. Copper, $2.06, in danger of going under $2. You can't tell me Chinese economy's coming back with copper trading there. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
43 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Very quiet so far in the area, expressways, roadways, and tollways, as it's been over the last week or so, with a lot of people working from home or staying home or out of work, unfortunately. No issues coming on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways are all quiet. Off the expressways, we have a crash in the North Shore, Buckley at Sheridan Road. There is an accident. And then in the city on the north side, Irving Park Road eastbound between Ravenswood and between Ravenswood Avenue and Ravenswood Avenue East, that little half a block there, is closed due to railroad viaduct work. So keep that in mind at Irving Park Road there. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today will warm up a little bit, get rid of that dusting of snow that we had yesterday evening. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 40. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly sunny with a high of 76 today. Right now it is partly cloudy and 58. This day in sports history, Chief, some NCAA basketball stuff. 1957. It was North Carolina beating Kansas 54-53 in triple overtime on this date, March 23rd, 1957. Wilt Chamberlain became the fourth ever player to win the tournament's most outstanding player despite not winning the championship, as his team lost in triple overtime. On this date in 1963, it was the 25th ever NCAA tournament, and the Loyola Ramblers, Chief, won the national championship, beating Cincinnati 60-58 in overtime. The Ramblers' first and only NCAA title game.
Was the Big O in the Cincinnati team?
I would imagine he was. That's a good question. I don't know for sure. I'd have to look that up. But the Ramblers, the 1963 national champions. And lastly, in 1968 on this date, UCLA beat North Carolina 78-55. The Bruins back-to-back titles, and it was Lou Alcindor winning the tournament's most outstanding player for the second time in a row, and he ended up winning it three consecutive years. But on this date in 1968 was his second most outstanding player. Chief.
I would say that you would put the Big O right in there with Jordan and Magic. He's the best guards ever.
No doubt about it. He's definitely one of the best guards ever, one of the best players ever. Great scorer, great all-around player, a lot of triple-doubles in many seasons in his pro career, and still alive, still kicking.
Plus, back in those days, if you had a bum knee, it was with you for a career.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I watched hey, Jan, how are you?
Tom, I'm good. How about you?
Oh, I don't know. Between all the stuff I'm seeing, all the stuff I'm hearing, they've become like a clearinghouse of information. And Maddie's correct. There's an amazing amount of data that's out there that doesn't seem to be correlated in a lot of the decisions you're hearing being made. Or else there's more data that I don't know. Three things that are bothering me, Jan, and even though Maddie's like, I don't know the exact solution, he's probably right about that. Why is it every study that seems to be very well done is from out of the country? And I think we have people that are making decisions without data. And I think we're 4 weeks behind, although we are catching up. I think our people are doing better. And I wonder, continual theme of mine is, what exactly did we pay for with the bazillions of dollars we spent after 9/11? We seem to have an amazing, and the more I read, the sicker I get at the amount of items that we would need here in any crisis. We don't seem to have any handle on the supply line. We don't care if we send Puerto Rico any hurricane aid. Wait a minute, those idiots, those people in Puerto Rico make 85% of all the saline solution. Oh, I didn't know that. You know, it's like we continue to make these stupid decisions not knowing things. There should be a big list somewhere in the White House in one of the rooms saying, these are our 200 items we need in a crisis. Let's find out where they all come from and what our inventory is. I mean, it's not like we don't... Jan, if we had 28 people working in Washington, it wouldn't bother me. I mean, if we took a laissez-faire attitude towards everything and just say nothing bad's going to happen, you could talk me into that. Lower my taxes. But don't spend all the dough and then when the time comes have nothing to show for it.
I'm with you completely. And, you know, as far as minding the store about procurement problems in the event of an earthquake or a tsunami or a virus outbreak or whatever, there is no coordination whatsoever, you know, about what we won't be able to get, or won't be able to get something in sufficient quantities if this supply chain breaks down over in this corner, whatever. Nobody's paying any attention to that. And to me, it's such basic business planning that you don't, you diversify your portfolio so that you don't take an unnecessarily big hit that's amplified because you didn't have any kind of way of spreading the risk around. And it just, you know, really grates on me that there is no worry about this stuff most of the time. And the fact that, you know, it's one thing to just say jobs have been outsourced, but when you look at whole industries and fairly sensitive industries, you know, at a time like this, and that they've just been let go out the door and we don't really care where they are as long as we can get the goods back cheaply enough is just shocking to me. This you know, points up the idiocy of that kind of laissez-faire. I mean, that's beyond laissez-faire. That's just, you know, tie a blindfold around me. I don't really care. I don't want to know what's going on. And that's just plain stupid.
Well,
maybe there will be a rethinking of some of that lack of decision-making that can come out of this, and that would be one positive from it. Let's hope.
Well, I guess, you know, I would hope, Jan, that, I don't know, maybe our education or whatever was just a little bit different. And I hope it's something, or our upbringing or whatever. We and again, I don't, this is I think what happens, I don't know if I can do this without making it politically and personal, but this is what happens when you get somebody in charge that has never run something of this magnitude before and thinks that his experience and all his other things in life somehow, I mean, if somehow somebody dropped either one of us in the Oval Office the night before, I got to believe we're lighting candles at the grotto going, what the hell, how did I get this job? How am I even worthy of this, to be able to do this kind of thing? Because I've read stuff about Bill Stevenson and George Marshall and those kinds of people. And the amount of reading, the amount of stuff they did on a daily basis is something that a regular person, and I consider myself a regular, wants no part of. I have a whole million clients, you know, not a million clients, I have a bunch of clients and I try and keep track of what they're doing. I mean, that's enough, Jen. I try and do the show, which is more than probably 80% of the population does, but it's not what the president needs to do. Now here's a guy that has essentially waged war against China to the brink of shutting down borders and shutting down this and tariffs. Now the thought that, you know, some huge percentage of our generic drugs and stuff we need in our healthcare industry are made in China, and the buffoon's been doing that for 2 years. Didn't he ever ask that question? What if we would have come to some sort of a total impasse in the tariffs, where we just pretty much stop trade or something? And wait a minute, all the stuff we need to operate on your mom tomorrow is made in China, and we pursued this not knowing that, or didn't ask the question, or didn't have a backup. I mean, there's an awful lot of policy here where people don't seem to know what they're doing. As the lady upstairs said Saturday, these people are making decisions without the data. And whenever you do, you make bad decisions. I mean, this whole idea of interconnect. I mean, I keep going back to the issue of this, the guy who was on the podcast that AV sent us, Matty, the guy who's the head of it's almost like a think tank that does biological stuff, where they advise the government. He said, "You look at this stuff, and you're just, it's not amusing." He says, "You can't have 85% of your saline solution in a place that's hurricane prone and their electrical grid looks like something out of the 50s. He says, "You can't have most of your generic drug manufacturer in China with no backup here." He goes, this is just stuff you can't do, and yet we do this constantly, and nobody looks at it.
Right. I mean, but you can't blame the presidents we've had for the fact that happened. Maybe allowing it to happen, sure, or not caring whether it happened or not. So, you know, I still give Trump high marks for caring about that kind of question.
Well, I mean,
whether, you know, putting the travel ban that he put on for China at the end of January, he took tremendous flack from the Democrats for that, but I think his thinking was spot on.
He'll tell you that four times a day that he did that. But it was, John, why is this information out of China so slow? We've got every swinging idiot in this country's got a factory over there. Did they purposely not tell us what was going on?
Well, I think it's too dangerous to really have free communication, even with people working there who have firsthand information about what's really going on. It's too dangerous to just start blathering about that. You're not going to get people in big numbers saying what is pretty much against the law.
So we're saying
anybody to do, whether you're a foreign national or a Chinese citizen, and they know what side their bread is buttered on too. So to keep things going over there, they have to kind of fall in line. Look at the Vatican as an example. The Vatican has just ceded, you know, the choice of bishops to the Chinese government because they don't want to fight them. And I think our business people aren't even that brave in a way. So I wouldn't trust them to give us good information back from what they've seen. It's too dangerous. Their families are at risk. They're at risk. Their companies are at risk. If, you know, it's in a community like that, the worst thing that can happen is for people just to freely exchange sensitive information. That's what the Chinese are most, you know, draconian about. So I'm not surprised if whatever was going on there that we wouldn't hear anything about it, or it would be so totally distorted that it would be useless.
So we're saying
that's the function of doing business with a country like China.
So we're saying
you can't expect it to be better than
all right,
that.
So Tim Cook, who appears to walk on water in his country, is, and I don't know anything about this, has two or three factories over there, knows people are dropping like flies. The Chinese tell him to shut up, and he does. What is wrong with this picture?
Well, and now the Apple stores have reopened in China. They're closed every place else.
Yeah, what are we talking about? People who they will do whatever they have. What did Lenin say? A capitalist will sell you, will be happy to sell you the rope of which you're going to hang him.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's unconscionable.
Well, of course it is. But it's also the kind of short-sightedness that is rampant everywhere you look. And it's you know, get in, make a killing, make as much as possible, throw ethics and morals out the window. Who cares about those things? They just slow you down and shortchange you. So the culture has become so hedonistic that, you know, how do you get it back to some kind of normal? Maybe this is a way of doing it, but it's going to be an awfully painful way of doing it.
Somehow or another, people have to have a higher morality than their pocketbook.
I really wish.
I don't. This whole thing just seems like it smells to me somehow, John. It somehow, this thing wasn't a natural mutation. I mean, I've gotten enough on that that I'm not convinced that there wasn't some kind of an escape or something. This is really strange. I don't understand why we kept saying it wasn't a problem here when it was, because I've been looking at the stuff I've got from Germany. Sure tells me that this is a serious problem, because people are amazingly contagious when they don't know they have it. And I don't see how we don't end up to the point where, what has to happen when we get to the point where it's the common cold? We don't try and, I mean, the thing, why is it, John, that people don't realize we make these kinds of decisions all the time? We make the decision that the speed limit is 70 and we don't police it, knowing that 1,000 people are going to die in Chicago every year. And if we made it 35, that number would be 100. We make decisions on life and death constantly. Don't we?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
We don't try, if there's a really bad influenza strain coming out of Australia next winter, we don't try and stop it. We don't try and stop the common cold at the borders. Do we? I mean,
no, I have no independent support for the idea that it's engineered or is purposely mutated, or, you know, the powers that be have decided this is some kind of grand science experiment that we're going to play out on the world stage. But things like that were said about the 1918 epidemic, the fact that it originated, you know, in large numbers at a military base made it look like it was something that the government had been involved in some case, some way or another. The same thing with the AIDS epidemic, that there were attempts to patent a disease like AIDS that suppressed the immune system going way back. And the way the disease was introduced into the gay community so profusely, there's, you know, people who believe that the hepatitis B vaccine program that was pushed on promiscuous gay men was contaminated deliberately by AIDS. And it was just an attempt to see how this thing played out in, you know, the news media and in human behavior. I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of case can be made about this too. One of the things, you know, it's speaking about testing, like you and Frank and Maddie were talking about earlier, there's push now to get a blood test to administer to determine whether someone has, you know, fought the disease already, and whether that person is immune from, you know, getting it again.
That, to me, Jan, is one of the most key things we need to have.
Oh yeah, and that's, I mean, the test to determine if you have the disease, I'm very much against a blanket, you know, administering of that test, because it's not going to tell you anything that you can use. It will give you some numbers, but as far as plotting policy from that, I don't think it makes you any smarter. If there is apparently a way of testing the blood of everybody to see if you've been exposed to this, but then the question is, then what? Are you able to acquire this again? Can you pass it on? When were you possibly not, you know, well, how far back in the past do you think maybe this person was exposed to it? There's still lots of questions. So that's even with a better test than the one that's being pushed now to determine the disease right now.
I ask you two mavens. I'll ask Mr. Weber, since he's been reading this all weekend. Could you take my blood and find out if my antibodies against, like, measles and chickenpox are still good? If I have any left or not? I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. When it comes to things like, you know, things that require booster shots to, you know, maintain your immunity, I don't know what you can determine from a blood sample of those people. I don't know. I've never heard of such a test, and I've certainly never had one that I know of, to see
if
my previous immunity is still intact or not for anything like that.
It was a long time ago, Jen.
If you had chickenpox, you're always at risk for shingles.
Right. Well, that one doesn't seem to ever go away.
That's just a given. But I don't know about other diseases, and I think that's, you know, important information to determine how much of the world population has been exposed to this thing, and how many of them presented symptoms, and how many of them sought medical treatment, and how many of them had a test that said, yes, they have the disease, and when was that test administered? All of these, I mean, it's a huge amount of data that needs to be acquired and sifted through, but I don't think testing people blindly without having a good blood test is worth anything other than just getting horrifying numbers, perhaps, that will panic people further. So I'm opposed just to blanket testing.
Well, I am too,
on those grounds. But
except I'd love to know the number. SP futures are flying all over the place right now. They were just down 55, then 65, then 54. Now we're 54.50. As if you're just down 118, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Member of the Board, Mr. John Flanagan, at his home, calling. S&P futures not only down 15, NASDAQ futures down 22. As Fed announces a slew of new programs to help the markets, including open-ended asset purchases. And I'm gonna say something here from my years of economics. Maddie will tell me, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure, but, the wealth of a country, the wealth of people, certainly of a country, is defined as the things that you have that you can not necessarily touch. It's the education of your people. It's the bridges you have, the houses you have, the cars you have. It's those things that have value. That is the value of a country. The amount of currency in circulation is just a way for people to transact business, okay? The currency is not value. Even though this new Fed seems to think of it is. So if you double the amount of currency, you didn't make any new houses, you didn't make any new bridges, you didn't make anybody any smarter, give anybody a new car. All you did was double the amount of currency and you have the price, and you essentially double the price of everything. You didn't create anything. And now the Fed is vehemently printing presses, buying stuff up, trying to keep the value of assets up. So did the Weimar Republic, so did Venezuela. It's not going to work. It's not good. It's not good economics. I'm not saying you should let the money supply drop, which is going to drop in a crisis like this if you don't put money into the system. So to that extent, they need to do what they're doing. But the idea that they somehow can send people checks of $5,000, $20,000, make it $100,000, and all of a sudden keep things the way it is, it's insanity.
It is. I completely agree, Tim. It's pointless. I'm also with you that that's no way of measuring the wealth of a country. It's kind of a person with no hint of what the country's culture is or what its contributions to knowledge or whatever really are. It's all just in churning the money mill, and that is, I think we're impoverished in many ways because that's sort of become the test. And let's just throw money at the problem, and the money is worth less just by giving it out in such huge numbers. What does it buy? It doesn't make you safe. It doesn't make you healthy. It doesn't make you prosperous. It doesn't add to your enjoyment of life. It's just stuff. It's just, pointless.
I would say that the average price at the Restaurant Depot Saturday versus last Saturday was 15-20% higher. Everything I bought. No, it's the stuff I bought. I'm not saying that they ran through the whole place and, upped the price of rice or something up that much, but I think all we're doing is running prices up, and I don't know if that's what you want to do right now. But there's a lot of things. This is a tough gauge for people, Jan, and it is interesting how some people. Have you ever listened to the Reed Armour? Not Armour Hammer. Was a George Marshall, soldier and statesman, and when the bombing started happening at Pearl Harbor, of course everybody involved, the chief of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, they used to be a song, right? Were all brought to the White House, and they're all got a bunch of phones on the table, and they're getting calls in for their people. And George Marshall was sitting there, and he says they've got, you know, people putting chalk on the board and stuff, trying to find out what's going on there. And there was none of the news was good, but it all had to essentially be processed. So some people were able to. He said Roosevelt was unbelievable. He was like absorbing every piece coming in. And he said, but then the guy, whoever was the Navy guy, I forget his name, he said it was obvious he couldn't handle it, that he was just crazed because, you know, some of his ships were down and some of his friends were dead. And I mean, obviously it was not a good day for anybody, including him, but he just proved everybody in that room that he was not able to handle that kind of information coming at him at that kind of level, and that he wouldn't be in that job long, and he wasn't. Didn't make him a bad person. Didn't make him, it just, there are some people that can handle this, and we've decided collectively, because we all vote, that somebody who's a game show host basically is capable of being president. I mean, I'm not talking about this particular guy. I'm saying in general, going forward, that seems to be the people who are going to get there. Or somebody who's been in, you know, Congress forever, whatever. The idea that you're looking for these kinds of skills in people. People don't even know what skills to look for. I mean, we're so far away from the World War II generation to realize, I mean, the generals probably knew more what was going on than the sergeants, or really should have. I mean, we went through a series where we got rid of the peacetime generals. We ended up having the people that made it to the top probably were the smartest people and able to handle stuff. All through the fact that you didn't want people getting killed because some guy was an idiot, right? And now we're right back to square one. There's people that would say that, and I don't have nothing about the lady. She's terrific. Made a bazillion dollars. People like talking. Oprah should be president, or Bozo the Clown should be president because we like. No, it's not. These jobs, John, at the time where people are called upon to do stuff, are incredibly difficult and really call for the brightest and the best. And for some reason, we don't want the brightest and the best there. We don't want the people entertain us the most, or something. Or am I just?
Well, it's an old story too. I mean, it starting with the earliest days of the democracy, it was always a popularity contest. It was, early on you came out of a pool of people who had fought in the Revolutionary War and distinguished themselves as thinkers or planners or leaders, and, that generation passed away, and then you had, some clowns, that came and went in the White House, and some very smart people who were almost maybe too smart for the time. They weren't appreciated, they kind of, we're wonks or, social engineers, and that didn't get them very far in the history books. You had people like Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, who was, an intelligent historian, but in retrospect, I mean, his personality flaws, I think, really outweighed some of his strengths, and a lot of what happened with Wilson is we don't want to go down that road again with an ideologue in the White House like that. And we've had some good ones in the 20th century.
Well, smartest one probably was
always. I mean, there's always been, a collection of people who really were outsized by the job completely, and they never rose to the occasion. And they had maybe smart enough people around them, so they didn't just do a crash and burn. But they were pretty undistinguished. And I don't think that's ever going to change. I think when you have a democracy, you do get the bad with the good, and you hope for better odds in tough times, but it is a crapshoot no matter how you cut it, and that's the fault of the system, but it's the system we have, and I'm willing to take the risk. So where somebody other than Trump, of the people we had in a pool of candidates with a big enough ego to run for president, I'm glad we got Trump, but that is a personal choice, and that's what my vote says, but it isn't something that everybody else would agree with. But what I want to know, really, in all of this stuff going on now, is the political sensitivity that, we're being exposed to with this virus mania, where all levels of government are warring with each other, and trying to get their foot in the door for money or resources or the microphone, whatever. And there's a presidential campaign going on, although it seems to be being fought by proxies now. I mean, Joe Biden hasn't been heard from. You would think if this were a real election cycle that the person seeking the job would be all over the place.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you totally on that.
Okay.
If for instance, we were in a war now, like you and I grew up in the Vietnam War, the incoming president didn't question every war decision of the current president. Matter of fact, they absolutely did not do that. I mean, I think Joe Biden should not be, every time Trump has a news conference, stand up next to him and I'll say he would do things differently. That's totally disingenuous right here. I would.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he has to be opposing the president. I'm just saying that he should be weighing in, because if he is going to be elected, it's worth hearing what he has to say. And it doesn't mean I want my position out there and I just want to, you know, throw stones at the president. It's about being presidential.
Letting
us see what you're made of. What do you say to help the president's agenda? I don't think we're getting much data from Biden to say what kind of a president.
I disagree. Very, very seldom. I think he's old school enough to know it's not his place right now. It is if he wins. I would. The last thing I would do is criticize the guy every day right now. If I was in Biden's spot, I would never do that.
You don't have to be criticizing him.
Well, I mean, I'm not gonna.
He could be rallying people. He could get points by just being a cool head about this. He could, you know, and it wouldn't have to involve, you know, bashing anybody.
But
at least, you know, kind of get your face out there. If you really are running for president.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying there's a whole different view on this. I mean, and I'm surprised that you and I are the same age. You would never have gotten a guy running against Roosevelt 2 months before the election saying he wouldn't have invaded here or wouldn't have invaded there. You would never say that. That's not your job. You're not the president. You're supposed to win, and then you get to make the decisions.
Right, but being a public figure means that you don't have to be complaining about what's not being done. You can be a source for cooler heads. You can be, you know, take on Schumer or Pelosi, or you know, tell them to, you know, straighten up and fly right. If you were really somebody's, we should be paying attention.
Why are they not flying right?
President, which I don't think Biden does, and I think this is just confirming.
Why are they not flying right?
Well, I mean, the whole hoopla, you know, this nuttiness in the stimulus package. And Pelosi saying she's going to go off and do her own bill. And, I mean, if you really are worried about markets and the economy and people's comfort level, I don't think you just, you know.
Jen, you know people as well as I do, and everybody there, and I think McConnell should be thrown out tomorrow and Pelosi with him, you know that in that bill is 80% of it is going to be crap for people he just wants to reward anyway, and so does she on the other side. Neither one of those, they're going to just like Trump using an excuse to close the Mexican border. He's got that bug up his behind. No matter what it is, it's got to be to close the Mexican border. And I guarantee you there's people in there that just want to give money to these industries because Boeing packed your pocket. You know what? Somewhere along the line here, this has got to stop, John. This has got to stop. It's been 5-6 weeks. You know, United Airlines came out of this mess in 2001. And they didn't own a plane. They were so leveraged, they lasted about 2 months. Okay, and the government had to bail them out, and the shareholders got screwed. They get the new people in there, whole new group. Guess what? They're still leveraged to the hilt. They're buying their stock back to keep the profits up, getting bonuses, and they're leveraged to the hilt. Now we're going to know they bought $38 billion worth of stock back. They want $50 billion. Duh. I mean, you can't just do this again and again and again. I mean, and Republicans are very happy to do that because those are their guys. Now, the Democrats have their guys, you know, which they're going to reward too, which is just as bad. But, I mean, both sides are agreeing that we're going to do something. All they want to do is make sure that their people get more than the other guys' money, right?
Right, but in the face of, you know, potential 30% unemployment, couldn't we have a little, you know, changing of the record here? I mean,
get something. You mean either one of these people to open up their heart and their mind for a second? No, you can't get that. Somehow we can't get that. I don't know why. And to blame one side.
I really think that the Schumer and Pelosi, like they've always been doing, are just making a meal out of this. They have no interest in allaying people's fears. They have no interest.
You think there's any difference?
Quieting things down. It's just kind of let's go in and fiddle with people's brains and drag this thing out and fight about it. And you know, that's the last thing I think we want to see in Washington right
okay.
now. I don't really care what the package ends up being, as long as people have a sense. Well, somebody is minding the store, and if we do have 30% unemployment, we better have some way.
Right, McConnell's
dealing
wife.
With that, so.
McConnell's wife was on the board of Bank America. Could be the Wells Fargo. Could have been the worst performing board in the history of the world. Well, no, that takes in a lot of bad boards. And now all of a sudden she's got this cabinet position. Now we're going to give Wells Fargo like all this dough. We're not going to ask Wells Fargo to cut back on credit card interest, not even 1%. That's the Republican mantra. Okay, I happen to not like that. Now, the Democratic side, I don't know, who knows what they're pushing for, but it's pushing for their people, too. I mean, but do you think either one? That's why I guess they call it compromise. At the end of the day, they're going to fight and come out with a bill. But both sides, I mean, they're all going to do the same thing that they always do. They're going to give the money to the same people they always give it to, because those are the people that give it to them. They're going to give it to the pharmaceutical. They're not going to say, by the way, why do you idiots have all these plants over in China?
Well, then clearly, Tom, Trump isn't the problem.
No, I never said he was.
He's a symptom of this kind of, you know, friction. But if you can't get bipartisanship at a time like this, I don't know when you ever would.
You're never.
So I'm just disgusted by the whole image of what's going on with, you know, the cloture vote and the bickering. I mean, it's the same stuff that was going on with the impeachment insanity, and it's the same thing that's been going on for the last, you know, going on 4 years now, where it's just noise and just
Jan, everything,
banging and smashing in Washington, and the country is kind of in a tight spot now.
Kind of, yeah.
If
they
aren't watching what's going on, then I guess nobody is.
Everybody's 401k is going to be broke in 2 weeks at this rate. We get people.
Yeah, does anybody seem to care?
I do.
I care.
I care about my clients. I care about the people that should be my clients and aren't here.
Right.
They're doing worse than my clients.
But does anybody higher up on the food chain seem to care? I don't know.
As your buddy Rahm Emanuel once told you, never waste a good crisis. I guarantee you that there are people that McConnell wants to pay off that are in that bill that have nothing to do with this disease. They're going to get some help for something. And I guarantee you, on the Democrat side, it's the same thing.
Of course. There's no perfect bill that comes out of this imperfect process. But the fact that there doesn't seem likely to be a bill is far more disturbing.
Okay, well, after Homeland Security, and nobody ragged about this more than I did. John and I were just on the air, and nobody ragged about it more than I did. And I don't have any of those tapes or anything. You've got to take my word for it. I mean, I was reading stories about how never in the history of the U.S., I'm not naive enough to know that if Jan Flanagan's PT boat engine manufacturer is in Buffalo, New York, which I think actually they were made there, that you didn't somehow find a way to squirm 5% more out of that engine or 8% more than you should have. I understand that. I'm from the South Side. I'm not naive. But you know what? Jan Flanagan made a good PT boat engine, and the extra 5% him and his workers spent at the local bar in Buffalo, I don't give a crap. You know, I'm okay with that. Now, if it's 40%, now I got a problem. 5-10%, I know it's government work. I get that, John. But I know a school is not going to go up for the same price that a Chicago public school as it does at Notre Dame. I know that. That the people are going to ride on the... I get it. Okay, but at some point, it becomes stealing. At some point, it becomes we can't do that today. You know what I'm saying? And we're at this point here where you give the same thing to the same people all the time. You always every excuse is to give money to people who back you, right? I mean, nobody's gonna. I mean, for God's sake, we gave Boeing a monopoly. We gave them $14 billion to redo B-52s that nobody cares about. We rigged the bid how many times for the tanker, but Airbus won twice fair and square. But instead, we kept rigging it and gave it back to Boeing. We keep the import export bank open for Boeing.
Airbus is hardly an independent player in all of this. They're heavily subsidized and protected. That's one of the reasons I want to stand behind
what
Boeing.
What I said was...
Because what else do we have to show for it? If we really, you know, want to succeed at you know, in the aeronautic industry, we have to have some kind of...
Jan, don't... Don't piss on my feet and tell me it's raining. Don't have an open bid for the tanker with the two companies left in the world, and the one company wins it twice, and you keep re-rigging it to your guy. Just give it to Boeing. Why go through the charade? Right?
Oh, okay with me. I mean,
yeah, so we made it sound like it actually was a bidding war. What, are we that stupid? Am I that dumb? After three times through, they finally give it to these guys, and guess what? They still don't work. That was 5 years ago, or 4 years ago. They still can't deliver them. There's still something wrong with them. So we give them every contract, and we give them a monopoly, and now what? They're going broke. What manner of moron, I mean, I said it at the time, you go back to the tape, it doesn't make me all that smart, it just makes me, I did this when I was at Pullman. We kept producing before we had a plane, or a car that was approved. These guys kept producing planes before they had a plane that was approved. And now we got, what, how many hundred planes sitting on the ground? Their cash burn had to be incredible. You put all the suppliers out of work instead of slowing the thing down to two planes a month or whatever, and now guess what? They're broke. And you know what? We're gonna take care of them, John, and the same board's going to be there. In 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, there's going to be another crisis, and the same people making the same money and make the same dumb decisions. We got to change this playbook somewhere.
Well, I just hope that there's a Boeing around. Because then we have bigger problems.
Why don't we make sure that there's at least one or two other players instead of one person screwing up to that extent? And I mean, our airlines are saying, if you don't fix us, you don't have an airline industry. I'm going to fix you today, but I'll tell you what, 5 years from now, you're not going to be that key to that industry. There's going to be 10 airlines.
Well, we've let it happen in the banking industry. You know, we let it happen all over the place. And monopolies are not just tolerated, they're cultivated these days. So, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think Boeing is certainly the only problem here by any means.
No, but I understand that. But these are places that if anybody, if a monopolist can't last 2 months, who can? I mean, you've given them everything, for God's sake. And what are you going to give the Tripoli Tap? Possibly a loan at 15% if the guy signs away his house?
Well, you can be sure that whatever comes out of this won't be fair. It won't be fair to the people who are most sensitive to what's going on here, and that includes you and me and the small business owners and people who really kind of shuffle along and keep their lives on an even keel as they can. Those people are going to get lost in the shuffle. None of this is going to help any of us. So I'm not really thinking about it in terms of getting a check or anything like that. I'm just wondering what anybody really thinks are the long-term effects of a crisis this. And this makes me think even more, I'm more convinced that it's just some kind of experiment here to see what happens to marketing, what happens to distribution chains, what happens to travel, what happens, of course, to the stock market, but more importantly, what happens to patterns of behavior. How do people respond to this kind of clampdown? What can we get away with the next time? What virus will we be facing a year from now? And I get very cynical when I see how we are played out and made to suffer for everybody else's inaction at the top. And
well, that's right. I'm saying, John, what is wrong? You know that I'm arguing with you, obviously. That's what we're doing. But I mean,
okay.
But I mean, you know that I know that right now we're going to have to bail out the airlines and Boeing. Okay.
And other
people
too,
and other industries as well. I get that part. To the extent that we don't just print money and screw everybody else and get stagflation back out of the back burner, right? Which I think is coming. But let's say, for instance, we bail these guys. All I'm saying is, let's not get you and I out of office so quick. I'm saying 10 years from now, I want six airlines, not four. And 10 years from now, there's going to be a competitive U.S. manufacturer of airplanes. If I got to break these guys and if I do something, they're not going to be the only game in town. So where they can hold me for ransom like they did last time. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And I think of what Kevin was saying last week, that if the taxpayers who really always do bail out these businesses got a stock certificate in the mail because of what they contributed via their tax dollars, I think if you had a voting share, if you were invited to an annual meeting, if you really did have a widespread distribution of the profits and the losses among the people who were footing the bill for it, you would see more businesses. You would see more honest competition. But of course, when are we ever going to get that? I'm never going to get a stock certificate for any of this bailout for anything. So nor will you. You just keep, you know, forking over the money, and you lose any kind of control except through the rum-dums that you elect to office who don't have any interest in, you know, putting together a fair way of doling out this money. They just want it for their own cronies.
But
like what you say. We're lurching from crisis to crisis, and the solution to this crisis is going to be money short term, but it's just going to dig us a deeper hole, and we're not going to have a whole lot to show for it that will help us the next time we have some crisis that's bigger or more violent. So I'm just kind of, you know, I'm bored kind of by the whole process now.
Well, Jen, I really believe, we only got a minute here, is that if you look at all these issues, they have one common threat. Incredibly horrible decision by corporate boards. The corporate board whole thing that caused that whoever designed the current system did so, I think, well. But somewhere along the line, the corporate boards have become useless. I mean, in United Airlines, when you got $3 billion to buy stock back in 1 year, and still you can't show up at Boeing on one day with a check for a plane and actually buy one, something's wrong. Something's absolutely wrong. I mean, Boeing.
Well, to come back to your example of Auburn University and the way it, you know, just ejected its student body, that's a corporate mindset too, and I can see why, educational institutions have been contaminated by this too. But you know, those students are their shareholders to a great extent, and the idea is get them out of the buildings so that if anything bad happens here, it's not on our watch.
Right.
We can be immune from it, and we'll still have a portfolio. We'll still have an endowment. We'll still be able to recruit. We don't care what happens to our students.
Right.
Well, that's their problem. I mean, the effrontery of that is just mind-boggling to me. But yeah, it's not just in the corporate boards. It's all the way through.
Well, you got to get all the other chairmen off all the other boards voting each other pay raises. Because every time you vote the other guy a raise, you vote yourself a raise. Right? Because he sits on your board.
Right.
Well, this whole thing is... And God help you if you try and get somebody on there who's different. Anyway, John, thank you very much. Probably talk to you later in the week, because who knows what our lineup's going to be with all this crazy stuff for everybody being home. We'll probably have to pick on S&P futures back down 46. Remember, they were down 65, down 22 in the Fed announcement. Now back like halfway. Come back with Mr. David Adelman to explain where the bottom is.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Oh, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. What are we doing? What are we doing with these females hanging around us, Manny? I'm just saying.
No one's hanging around me lately.
Oh, she's got you 6 feet
Jill
away?
Jill and my dog, and
she
that's
got you
it.
6 feet away?
No, she trusts me, because she sees me wash my hands 50 times a day.
She doesn't see you hanging around with your Jeremy-looking basketball buddies?
I know, I miss those guys.
Aud is now sending me the animal shelter. A lot of people... Talk about rumors now. People, this is so bizarre, are dropping their dogs off because they're convinced the virus can lurk on the dog.
Like in his fur?
Evidently.
Oh, jeez. It probably can.
So they're looking for people to foster dogs. So she sent me a picture of a couple of these guys. They look like they need a home. You think Venkman needs a roommate?
No. But you could use a new pal.
So you think that they go out in the backyard and play together? Venkman loves to play with everybody.
Absolutely. I do think that in a time of social distancing, whether this lasts for another couple weeks or if it's a couple months or if it's 6 months, who knows, having a pet's probably not the worst thing in the world.
Well, plus, when you're out walking, nobody's going to stop you. They know you got to take the dog out.
Well, that's right. I mean, we walk our dog on long walks every day. And yesterday we walked probably 2 or 3 miles, and we saw like 3 people the entire time.
Yeah, and they all had dogs.
They all had dogs.
S&P futures up. They're up 34. So the Fed's buying our way back in. We were down 60 when we came in. This is an amazing move here. Unlimited asset purchases. We're going to print money. And how much can I get for my truck? I didn't take it in to get it fixed. If I just sell it for $10,000, I'll be happy. Call that guy. Call the Fed man. $10,000. This is insanity, but it's what we're being dealt with. Dollar 444, although I'm glad we're up and not down. We don't need to be down much more. DAX up 55 now, 0.6%. FTSE down 36.7. CAC around up 5. These were all down like 3% earlier. So now we're throwing money at it. I just, whatever. Nikkei, well, these things haven't moved. Nikkei up 334. It was up earlier. Shanghai down 85. That's 3%. Hang Seng down 1108. That's 5%. Bonds were back down 0.76. The Bund minus 0.39. Japan, which had broke above zero, is now 0.07 negative. Oil, which was down earlier, up 32 cents, 22.95. Brent down 77 cents, 26.21. Natural gas, 157. RBOB, 55 cents. I didn't even need any gas yesterday, Manny, but I pulled in and got some for 210. I felt I owed it to myself. Gold up $37, now 15.21. Silver up 52 cents. Copper down 6 cents. I've been able to hang in there with my people, doing all right during this mess because I've been long gold. More money that comes out, the more gold's going to go up. Just saying. I don't know how much more money they're going to send out, but that's kind of an identity. Individual stocks that were all down. Apple was down 6, now it's up 1. 3M's up 280. We had United Health down a bunch earlier, and now it's actually up $6. It was down 6 earlier. So the Fed's saying they're going to buy everything from everybody, and helicopter money in has turned the market around here very quickly. Maddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area that's out in the western suburbs, Roosevelt Road at Route 83. There is a crash causing some delays on Roosevelt Road, so keep that in mind. But everything else is looking good. Light traffic coming in on the Edens and Kennedy. No issues on the Eisenhower or Stevenson. Southside expressways are all quiet. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions, as are the suburban tollways. Off the expressways, we're looking good, too. We have a crash up in the northern suburbs. Casimir Pulaski Drive at Waukegan Road, there is a crash. And just west of there, Wilson Road at Nipissing Road, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early. Then we warm up a little bit this afternoon. We'll get rid of that dusting of snow that we got yesterday as we'll reach a partly cloudy high of 40 today. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 76 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 59. Chief.
I just wish, actually, I wouldn't act on it because I have someone. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Just
I'm trying the speaker phone, so I wanted to make sure I was heard.
No, you're being heard. Even though I would never act on it, I still have too much of the morality in there. Just once, I'd like to call where I could make 100 spoo points in like 5 minutes. Because you know people from
maybe Jay Powell could call you before he makes these kind of announcements.
I think other people know what he's going to do, and I think they trade on it. And I think he's very happy with that because he wants it to be 100 points in the spoos. And if the right people make money, that's why they're the right people.
Maybe I don't know the man, and you know I know he's an educator, and I know he's from Stanford. That doesn't mean he's not. That does not mean that he's not acting the way you're talking about.
Well, I think, I would say that most people in the country, as long as it's to the upside, they don't care either. On the downside, then it's a problem. If you get ahead of people on the downside, you're a crook.
Right. Tell that to shorts who don't like this.
Well, I mean, look at the abuse people in Congress are getting. And rightfully so, for coming out of a meeting about how bad this virus is going to be, and four or five of them sold a lot of stock.
And, you know, they get on, and I don't know one way or the other. I don't know if they had blind trust. I don't know if they had control. I don't know any of that. But, I mean, say you have a blind trust, and you have a trustee, and you're a senator, and you're in that meeting and whatever, and you learn that those kind of things. Just for appearance, let's just say, for sake of argument, everything's honorable, which I have my doubts, but let's just say, wouldn't you call the trustee and say, hey, look, you know I don't have control, but I got some information, and so whatever you're going to do in your infinite wisdom, you know, go cautiously so that the appearance doesn't, you know, implicate me. You know, 33 cells, you know, in the same day that she came out of the meeting. I mean, come on.
I think that you called the guy up and said to sell it.
Well, I get that, and it sure seems more than fishy that you get 33 cells in the same day, 15 minutes after you come out of the meeting. All I'm saying is, let's just say you were the person coming out of the meeting, and you had full intentions of not acting, you know, off the information that is basically exclusive to you. Wouldn't you call the trustee and say, hey, look, whatever you're going to do, do it slowly and judiciously, not all at once, buy, sell, whatever you're going to do, because it's going to look fishy if you pull the cord, you know, real, real quickly?
I think if you have the blind trust guy's phone number on your phone, it's probably not a blind trust.
And I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I'm saying it's... Matt, if you got a second, the lady we're talking about, remember her name, David? Lepowitz, what's her name? Lefowitz?
Which one are you talking about?
The one who sold the most. The
Loeffler.
Loeffler.
Yeah.
Loeffler.
Why don't you Google
Wisconsin,
her for a second?
Wisconsin, I think.
No. I'm going to say, Google her, Maddie. I'm going to say she's from the South.
Oh, Georgia. Georgia.
I'm going to say that her husband was the biggest contributor to the governor. She's the richest senator in Washington. And I'm going to say that when, I don't know, was it Sessions or somebody resigned, she was appointed to the job. She didn't even win the election. Just an amazing stateswoman.
And by the way, she went to DePaul and really? Is originally from Bloomington, Illinois.
But she married well.
But she married well, and she's the, the representative from Georgia.
She's not a rep, she's a senator.
Or she's the senator from Georgia.
Georgia.
I don't think you get to put a representative in there. The representative has to be elected no matter what, right, David? Representative is that, a representative of the people. I don't think you can.
I think you can be appointed for a time, and then they have to call. Either if an election is coming up, you have to run, or they call a special election.
Even if it's like for a year.
For an interim period of time.
Her husband, Jeffrey Sprecher, or Sprecher, or whatever, is the founder, chairman, and CEO of Intercontinental Exchange and the chairman of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
Hello. Not only can you act quickly, but you can act electronically
because
they have their own private conduit.
Isn't that special? And I'm going to say the governor, that the old man was the governor's biggest contributor.
How does she not go to jail?
Because she's a senator.
Wouldn't be the first
one. Well, the ethics, the four or five senators and a representative. I think Pelosi's in on it too, as far as I know.
No, it's Feinstein.
It was Feinstein.
I mean, it's all at the ethics committee, I believe.
It was Feinstein.
So they could be censured.
They won't. Manny, how many times have I said there is no specific law? And we got Martha Stewart went to jail.
Right.
I mean, it's
really something. But with this Loeffler, I mean, all the cases are bad. The four GOP guys, and then Feinstein on the Democratic side.
Yeah, Feinstein, you're right.
And then maybe more will come out. Who knows? But this Loeffler is by far. I mean, good God, how obvious is that?
She's an appointed senator from Georgia. What do you think?
Good
Duh.
Lord.
We wonder why.
But I love that she's originally from Illinois and went to DePaul.
Yeah.
And I believe the number they said was literally 15 minutes after the meeting, there were 33 cells.
Well, I just got
an
email from somebody talking about how in January we had people here talking about the Army and other people saying how that this thing in China was out of control and we needed to do something here, and it fell on deaf ears. Although it's, you know, I think that probably always happens. You know, it's people look at their history. Tell a quick story from, and then David's going to tell us where the bottom is. We may have just had the bottom with the Fed now saying they're throwing. Just remember, David, that the market in the Weimar Republic went from 500 to 1 million.
now here's a question for you. I'm looking at a chart from the National Institute of Health, and they break it down by countries. Guess which country has the lowest total cases per 1 million population.
In the world?
Yeah.
Well,
I'll say China.
192 countries are infected. Which country per 1 million has the lowest number?
The way they count it, probably India or China.
Yeah, China, 56. And Britain, which, you know, is calling it in the army to, you know, make sure people don't go out unless you're an exception, you know, unless you're excluded, as the second least, 84.
The
USA is third, by the way, 106 per million.
Just so you know how things don't necessarily walk their way up the chain, Enrico Fermi, those who know anything about atomic energy know he was basically the father of atomic energy, was a Nobel Prize winner, I believe. Something like 6 or 7 or 8, I don't forget the whole number, mostly Jewish, Nobel Prize winners somehow made their way out of Europe and out of the clutches of Germany either before or right after the war started, and made their way essentially over here to Britain, without whom there never would have been an atomic bomb here and may have been there. although I don't think Germany really had the uranium resources, so I don't think they could have done it, at least during the war. But anyway, that's another story. But so Enrico Fermi comes over here, and he works his way up into the Admiralty, and he gets into the Naval Pentagon or someplace, and he is, I don't know, is the Pentagon there during the war? Wherever, he shows up, and so there's a captain and an admiral. And the cabbie's waiting in the waiting room, and the captain says to the admiral, there's some WAP out here who wants to see it. Now, the guy's a Nobel Prize winner, but now he's just some WAP, right? So he tells his story to the admiral, and the guy thinks he's an idiot, and he basically boots him out. And I don't know how many weeks later, Roosevelt's wife, one of her friends, has his husband who knows a lot about atomic energy and knows about Enrico Fermi, and says, if we don't start working on this stuff, we got a real problem, because this is so deadly, it's so dangerous, and the Germans are ahead of us, and blah, blah, blah. So Eleanor Roosevelt got this guy a 10-minute meeting with Franklin, like, 2 weeks later. And Franklin hears the story, immediately jumps on it like a terrier to a bone, and says, wait a minute, you mean you went to see people, they tossed you out? Yeah. And he goes, yeah. He says, well, I think we should get on this. And within, like, 3 months, we had something like 200,000 people working on the project for the uranium. The uranium, weren't good at centrifuging and things, so we needed something like a ton of uranium for like a half an ounce of whatever you needed, the right stuff. And we had two massive operations going, one in Tennessee and one in Oregon or Washington, right, something like that. And if it wasn't for Eleanor Roosevelt getting this guy in to see Franklin, who immediately grasped the situation, the entire atomic energy thing would not have played out the way it did. And so, I mean, you do need, there is a thing about leadership, and a lot of it's random, a lot of it's luck, but these guys that have that kind of talent, and I'm not criticizing Trump for not having it, because 99% of the people don't have it, right? But the people...
Well, 100% of presidents should have it.
Well, yeah, but that's...
In my opinion.
That's easy to say.
It is easy to say.
But I don't see how... I mean, one of the most incredible people I've ever read about is the guy I always talk about, Bill Stevenson, who ran the British Secret Service. I mean, they said he read the equivalent of a Victorian novel a day. The guy was a brilliant mathematician. He was a light heavyweight boxing team. He was everything. Now, you don't think that guy wanted to run for prime minister? But at least know enough to have people like that working for you and listen to them. And not if they're smarter than you, not have them in a room. I would love to be in a spot where everybody in there was smarter than me, and all I had to do was listen to them and make good decisions. What could be easier? Right? I mean, do you think I'd be pissed off, Maddie, if I had five guys here at PTI that walked up with one trade better than next all day, and all I had to do was say, do it?
Oh, yeah.
You think I'd get over the ego on that? I'd get over that real easy. That would not be a problem. All right, David, how the hell can we be down limit last night for half the night or three quarters of the night? We come in here, we're down. The Fed comes out with some announcement, which you have to expect this by the day. And then we went down after the announcement, and then we came back up. Now we're way up. So this is pretty tough to trade, bud.
From a technical standpoint, I mean, pretend the news wasn't there. I mean, and that makes the time, you know, totally, totally, totally uncertain. I mean, I think most folks agree, whether it's 2 weeks on the inside and not many two-weekers, or 6 months on the outside, unless you think that, you know, we're going to wipe out the disease and it's going to remutate in a different form and come back again next fall, which it very well may be. I think, you know, folks basically think, you know, somewhere between, say, 15 days and 3 months, that if nothing else, the worst will be behind us, so the time is so certainly uncertain. That said, you know, let's put it this way. My son was, you know, hey, you know, let's get in. I got some idle cash. Let's buy it. Some bargain. I can hold on. I'm, you know, mid-30s and blah, 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 blah. And I said, Eric, you know, don't rush on any rallies, first of all. There's always more breaks. And the way the market bottoms is erratic behavior, like what we're getting, huge big swings for days and even weeks on end, could even be a month because of the nature and the rapidity and the grade of this break. Beyond that, I can basically say never. You're never going to make a bottom of a move this way on a higher opening. You're just not. You're not going to open, you know, 1,000 higher and go 2 lock limits up, and then you'll never get another chance to buy. It's not going to happen. Now, you will have to include the overnight in this. But the only way this bottoms is something like lower openings, maybe sharply lower, rally up, you know, wipe out some shorts, have a heartless break to wipe out the remaining longs, and then inch up the rest of the day, and then gap higher the next day. That's how it's done. And I don't believe whether it's 9/11 or SARS or MERS or Ebola or 9/11, God forbid, or internet crash, the financial crisis, that's the way the market bottom is, from lower levels, not from higher levels.
What are we going to do if they keep doing what they're doing? I am going to predict this, unfortunately. We're going to get a report that says the economy was down 4% last quarter, and oh, by the way, inflation was up 3. Then what?
Oh, I definitely think that. I mean, it's going to be worse than that. I mean, you're going to... Hey, here's the anecdote. I mean, I think the average prediction now is for second quarter GDP down 8. There's some people talking 25 and even 40. I mean, the Pennsylvania Senator Toomey got on and he says, you know, virtually other than essential industries, he said everything is absolutely locked down. He said our GDP could be down 90%.
But I think you're going to end up with a super hot CPI number.
Right. And then, you know, just as an example, we went shopping for essentials and we needed paper towels. And, you know, we found two rolls of paper towels. No, not the finest quality, but a Dollar Tree for a dollar, because everything's in there for a dollar. And it was the last two on the shelf because it had been raided. So I went next door to Ace Hardware, the local one, and they had a pack of fine quality Bounty. You know, same size roll, maybe it was a little bigger or whatever, and it was $4.99. I said, how in the world can you get $4.99 for this when I just got two packs next door, slightly lower quality, maybe slightly lower size, for a dollar? You know what he said? Because we can.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I did notice a lady upstairs, we went to the depot, the restaurant depot, and she, you know, all this thing about the hand wipes and the alcohol.
Right.
You know, and she's pretty bright, obviously, brighter than me. She goes, I got all kinds of them. I said, where'd you get them? She goes, these are eyeglass cleaners. They're all alcohol. Same thing. nobody's figured that out. Okay. I mean, how many times? I mean, sometimes I buy the eyeglass cleaners. I mean, obviously, I wear glasses once in a while, and I never thought that they're all alcohol.
There's a lot of things people don't think of. There was an epidemiologist from Lenox, I think New York, whatever, a big time epidemiologist, and working constantly in the emergency room. And he said, you know, people go around with all these masks and whatever. They don't have the right filters. They're not filtered. They're not fitted to their head. They're somewhat protective, better than nothing, but the odds of getting aerosol in the air are 1 in 10,000. And he said their eyes everyone's eyes are exposed, or most people's eyes are exposed. The mucous membranes, you know, the virus can crawl in like crazy. So I'd rather see someone with a pair of $2, you know, real cheap sunglasses that fit around and are firm against their eyes to protect, instead of, you know, these masks that, you know, are maybe filtering out 40% of what's there.
Well, I did read that this virus is actually pretty big, Matty, as viruses go, size wise. So it actually does get filtered by the Home Depot mask, because it's an unusually sized virus, which again leads us back to our conversation of is this thing really, really a natural occurring virus? Which, of course, I don't think we'll ever know. But all right, David. So
it's a strain. There's been coronaviruses, yeah, 3 or 4 different kinds for years.
Right. Isn't the common cold a coronavirus?
No, influenza is different. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not
you
sure
know, either. There's thousands of different strains.
All right. So now, what do we do here? We're back up here. Now, do we sell this? Do we just sit here all day and hope it keeps going up, or what do we do here?
To me, I don't want to be short anymore. I really don't. Can you be hedged? Absolutely. To me, anytime the Dow rallies 1,000 or like it did overnight 1,500 or whatever, I would certainly hedge a portion of the portfolios. As far as buys, I think you, just like you, you need to buy essentials, you know, your Walmarts and your Costcos and your, you know, the three I gave you, Gilead, Regeneron, and Moderna, who are feverishly working on the vaccine. You know, on big breaks, you know, those are the three to be in.
Yeah, I think we actually are going to get a vaccine. I really do. So
I really do, too.
Maybe I'm just hoping, but SP Futures...
Those are the three I gave 2 weeks ago, and those are the three holding up. I would not chase any rallies in anything.
NASDAQ Futures up 201. Thank you, David. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.